If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
A podcast network.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Two
Filthy
Nerds.
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And there's two of us.
Sweet, sweet two of us. And we are on location today.
We are in a park-ish.
Yeah.
We're at the Trails Cafe in Griffith Park. Shout out to Trails Cafe.
Yes, delicious coffee. I might go get one of those hot dogs wrapped in pastry.
Yeah. I love how you came up to me and you're like, I expressed severe willpower this morning.
I'm sorry. I think that we should all know by now, if you're not, you know, on inside information, me resisting a hot dog
is like a
heroin addict turning down
black tar heroin.
Yeah.
Me going pure black tar heroin.
Yeah. I need to start a hot dog blog.
You do.
The dog blog.
Is hot dog going to be your brand?
Hog blog. I mean,
hog blog. Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, I don't think anyone would be shocked if hot dog was my brand. I tried to hit up the Oscar Mayer.
Oh, yeah. I remember you wanted to drive the Oscar Mayer truck.
Yeah, they were hiring. They hired people straight out of college. And I was like, look, here's why you should hire me and my friend who are much older.
Much older. And way, 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 way out of college.
Yeah. So we can ruin the fun for everyone.
I feel like if you and I would have done that, we would have eaten so many hot dogs.
You think we wouldn't like hot dogs anymore?
We wouldn't like hot dogs anymore. I truly believe that.
I, given the amount of hot dogs I've eaten in my life, think that maybe that's impossible for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean...
What's your favorite kind of dog?
Oh, like not ballpark. Yeah, maybe. Just like I'd like 100% Hebrew National all beef on one of those little like... What are the little seeded buns? Why we don't need
a sesame bun.
Yeah.
Do you realize at any point during any of our podcasts, at some point we get to food?
I mean, it's inevitable. We eat. We be eating. And that is, I guess that leads us into the topic. Perfect. We're going to do a quick pitch, by the way, because this was a Book Was Better episode, which we will get into, because honestly, pretty good film. But today, we're going to talk about comedy.
Vanity and comedy.
Yeah. And the detriment of vanity to comedy. Maybe vice versa.
Yeah. But it is definitely goes both ways.
Absolutely. Because it's a thing that, how do we get into it? You can't truly be your most funny.
If you're worrying about how you look.
Yeah. If you're worried about being hot.
Yeah.
Like there's people and you can watch people go on stage at a, you know, newer level, mm-hmm. who are clearly concerned with, you know, wanting to also look pretty, and it affects it.
Yeah.
They could still be like, okay.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that is a barrier.
Yeah.
If you can't let yourself just full ugly.
Like, I feel more comfortable on stage, I mean, depending on how I dress. Because, like, I don't want to be, like, if I'm too revealing, I'm like, this doesn't feel funny. This feels like I want attention for my body more than my jokes.
Yeah, I have trouble because it's like I go back and forth between. I don't usually do too revealing on stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have on occasion worn like a jacket over like a slutty top or whatever. But I go back and forth between, well, I want to dress up. You know, these people came for a show. Let me put on a fun outfit.
Yeah.
And then had moments where I'm on stage. I'm like, the outfit's too loud. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's like either seems like a distraction or an attempt at a compensation.
It's hard for me to see you on stage sometimes when you're like dressed up really eccentrically and get inside the audience's head and as far as like what they might see. Because like I know you. So I'm like, oh, this is just her, so it's not distracting to me at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
but like there are some times where like you're like your long colorful coat that you have, you know, like I've seen you on stage in that. There's a few things going on with that coat. Number one, it's wildly colorful. Number two, it's huge on you.
And I feel like that's a piece that is potentially distracting.
Yeah.
And I think it's still possible to do well in fun, loud outfits, but like the second I've gotten in my head about like, I had a really bad set once thinking about how I made this like really bold. I don't know if you ever saw, I don't think I have anymore, but it was like a gold jacket that was kind of short with like a bit of shoulder pads and it zipped up.
Was it silky?
It was like woven when you got really close. Uh-huh. So it was like almost like a fine like thread. Maybe it was kind of silky.
Okay. I don't remember it.
It was just very like boss lady, hot 90s work coat.
Really got the shoulders going.
And I put it on and I was like, fuck yes. But then I went on stage. I was like, oh, the coat. Oh,
it's too much.
And then underneath I was wearing like, I really thought I was like on one. I was wearing like a lingerie top. Like this will be a whole thing. But then I was like, no, I'm keeping the coat. Because I wanted to wear like lingerie with like a strong jacket.
Were you going anywhere afterwards?
No, it was just like, I was like, I'm going to wear like a fun, I had a thing for 5 minutes where I was like, I'm going to wear lingerie tops under nice jackets.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a fun vibe. And I was like, who?
I mean, I feel like that's something you would do if you were like going to get dick afterwards.
I mean, did I get dick afterwards? Yes.
Okay, good.
But I wasn't, just, that wasn't the goal.
Yeah, that wasn't the goal. That was just the byproduct of a great night.
Well, but the thing is that like, yeah, when you really think about it, some of the best comedy is ugly moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, this conversation all stemmed from, by the time this comes out, you guys, if you're following us on our individual social media, we'll know we're making some fun videos for Squatty Potty. And we shot something.
And when we were shooting it, there's a part of it where I'm filming Jess. She's sitting in my lap. So the camera is right in her face.
Yeah.
And she has her head turned. And the way she has her head turned makes it look like she has like 6 million chins.
Well, the reality is in that moment, I did have 6 million chins. And I'm someone who has always had, even at my thinnest, I just barely have a chin.
Yeah.
I've always found my profile to be very humorous. I think it looks like a cartoon out of like when Mary Poppins like jumps into the cartoons. Like I feel like from the side I look like I'm gonna be like, okay, governor. Like I just like,
it's fun because I see
it just sort of connects.
Yeah, I see myself like that too, but I'm looking at you and I'm like, I don't see that
from
like, I understand that you see that because I feel that way, but when I look at you I'm like, no, I'm like, I love like the line of your nose. Like you have a really great nose.
It's like, so well, we're all our worst critic.
Yeah.
And the thing is that like that can potentially get in the way of something great. Like we filmed a shot where you can't argue that I have.
Yeah. I was. So when she was
it is an unflattering
when she
shot.
Was saying like, oh God, that's hideous. If I only had a chin, you know, and she's like saying all these things about herself. And there's always a part of me that, you know, obviously was like, don't beat yourself up. But then I'm just like, well, you do have chins in this moment. But
and it's so funny.
And it's so funny. All I kept thinking about is like, oh God, it's so funny. It's so funny. You know, and then I put myself in her shoes and I'm like, well, if I saw myself like that and I saw, you know, because anybody in that position, turning your head at this like extreme angle, like you're going to have a million chins. Like that's just the way the human body is. So I was thinking about myself. I'd be like, oh, I'd judge the shit out of myself for that too. But then I have to say to myself, it's funny. It's funny. And it doesn't matter how gross you look. It's funny.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you also can go like, especially if something's really funny, you can go, okay, people are looking at this and thinking funny. Yeah. Too much to even go, oh my God, how gross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, even if they are, oh my God, how gross. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And think of all the opportunities we would miss, we have missed.
Yeah.
Because we've been like, oh, that's unflattering.
Yeah.
Like, I wish, because I've put on some weight in quarantine.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who gains weight like an Indian dad or so. Like, I don't, I gain weight only in my stomach and like, it's just bizarre. It's all, but it's always
gone,
been
it's
like
definitely
that.
Gone to your boobs too, this core.
Oh my God. Thank fuck. Like, but like, I wish I could go like, let's fucking put on a crop top. Let's be this crazy character with my stomach hanging out because it's so funny.
Yeah.
More than I could, you know?
If you think about that chick in Australia, Celeste Barber.
Yes.
She's like fearless.
Yes.
I don't want to be like, she's brave. But like, she's like,
that's
this
what
is
our
my
society
fucking
is,
I don't
though.
Give
that, like,
a fuck.
It. I mean, it's crazy, but like, it is
yeah.
extremely brave to like show off your body when it's imperfect.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And it's also hilarious. Like how she is poking fun at herself and even more so poking fun at the models that she's.
The ridiculousness yeah. of modeling. That yeah. it's like, look how stupid this picture is.
Look at how
is.
Stupid these influencers
Let
are.
Let me just show you any person with like yeah. a normal too yeah. bigger body. This no one would be doing this.
I think one of the reasons it's so popular, not only is it hilarious, and that's one of the reasons it's popular, but I feel like she is representative of just like a normal woman in the world's body.
Yeah.
And I think when you can see yourself on TV or Instagram or whatever, when you see yourself in pop culture,
it kind of normalizes.
It normalizes it. Absolutely.
That's why I need to get naked on
yeah,
social media because no one with my body.
So the other night when you were dancing.
Yeah.
If you followed Jess on social media yeah. or me, the other night, so Jess and I like to dance together, and because my ankle's bad, I can't really shake a tail feather like I used to. So Jess was dancing in my room, and she was just kind of entertaining me.
And being a maniac.
Being a maniac. But it's so wild that I've known you for so long. You can still make me laugh like nobody else can.
Aww.
Like, it's... I find you to be one of the most entertaining human beings on earth. So when you were doing that, I was just like sitting on my sofa. I was like, I'm getting like a one woman show of Jess dancing. And she's
which is clearly a red flag of my mental illness.
By the way, and
a one woman show for one person.
I tweeted, that's why it's a one woman show, because there's one woman in the audience.
That's how I do all my performing, only one. I mean, if you could make that work, imagine, first of all, the audacity and confidence, but like, if you could survive somehow, like with an art piece, we're like, no, only one person.
Yeah, only
at a
one
time.
At a time. Yeah,
and you were so, it was so iconic that people would pay an absurd amount to be like the one
well,
woman.
I mean, there was a moment where I was like, I'm literally just sitting watching my best friend just be an idiot. but she was doing this character of this an aerobics teacher,
an out of shape, just
out
like
of shape
aerobics
teacher.
Teacher.
And there was part of me that was like, oh. And I was recording it, and I knew you were going to have a critique about, like, the way you look and whatever.
Yeah, because I look like a pumpkin on sticks bouncing around.
I mean, I know you want to make the joke, but I'm, like, sitting there, I'm like, this is so fucking funny. And what's funny about it is not that you're an out-of-shape aerobics instructor. It's your...
It was just insane.
It was just your voice and the things you were saying and the amount you were sweating and the fact that you were wearing my fake glasses. Like, there were just so many things. But at no point during it was I like, oh, God, Jess has gained weight during quarantine. Like, I was just watching it and I was like, she is literally one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life.
I love you. And I was, like, having so much fun with that because we were just laughing so hard.
So
that,
hard.
That I was like, okay, I'll post it. Whereas, like, I feel like there could have been a time or a different day where I would have been like,
no,
oh my God, you can't post that. We've all done it. We've all gone, don't post that.
I mean, there was that one day when you were doing VR and I posted something of you and you were upset about it. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
And oh my God, and then my period came the next day. And yeah. I was like, ah, it's all so clear now that why I got upset.
I was being emotional. But it's like, you know, there are things you do where I'm like, you're just so, so funny. And when you were working out, I was like, you know, I know you're always like looking for a workout that you like doing. And I, as someone who's, you know, severely codependent, I'm like, I just want Jess to be happy with her body. And if she could just find a workout that she likes, when you were doing it, I was like, fuck, I'll do this with her every day. If this is what makes her work out and makes her happy.
I was like, this fake
aerobics
class.
So for me, I'm like, yeah, I will have you act like an asshole every day in front of me. And I record it because it's so entertaining to me.
I got multiple people, by the way, were like, I would take this class. And I was like, why are you taking exercise classes from a woman who's clearly out of shape?
Because, listen, I only follow on Instagram. I follow a lot of fitness people. I will only follow
including fitness people.
Yes. Including you. Everybody follow. That's your new character, by the way. You need fitness instructor.
Oh my God. Should I start using that account I made a long time ago?
Yes.
Then I put nothing on. I was like, funny fit girl.
Funny
I'm
going
to use this to get in shape.
That's literally you.
That's where I should do it.
I only follow people, fitness people, whose body types are similar to mine. So
it's a realistic.
It's a realistic goal. So that if I actually chose one day to clean up my diet completely and work out consistently and, you know, have, you know, a full workout regimen and be super dedicated to that, I could look like that. Like,
what am I supposed to just only follow Simone Biles? Like, yeah. Nobody has my body type. That's the thing. That is a real thing with pop culture is that, like, there's moments where I go, am I the only person who has this body in the whole world? Like, I never see my body anywhere.
I've never seen your body anywhere.
And it is not, I am not saying that as a humble brag.
No, you.
I have like trauma fat stomach or something.
When you, I remember there was like, it was a few years ago, you were doing like yoga all the time and you were doing, CrossFit too.
Yeah.
Or something.
Boxing
CrossFit-ish.
In the morning. Yeah. Like a year ago.
And I remember you were in like, you know, some of the best shape of your life. And I felt like you knew you were in great shape. You felt really good about it. And you're like, I just want to like keep going. Like, I feel like you thrive. Your thing about working out is there's a degree of vanity to it, but I feel like you really just want to feel good in your own body.
I think that's a lot of people. Yeah. And that's where I struggle with when people post like, I don't want to be another body positive thing, is that like, I just like, I see so many things that I'm like, okay, you never feel bad.
Yeah. Never. Like, come on, please. Are you fucking kidding?
Start a body negative movement, but that's a whole different hilarious bitch. And we need to move on to talking about it. But
so here's something funny. So we have a friend who's a comedian in Cleveland who recently lost a lot of weight.
Yes.
I'm not going to say her name. Cause I mean, fuck it. Mary Santora.
Amazing comedian.
Amazing. She's,
if you don't follow her, you don't know her.
Yeah, follow
you need
her.
To see her. And if
she's
you're in the Midwest,
extremely funny.
Go see her if she's anywhere. She's funny.
She's incredible. But Mary recently lost 30 pounds. I spoke to her on the phone the other day. She recently lost 30 pounds. I never perceived Mary. I just perceived her as a thick girl.
Yeah.
I was never like, whoa, there's 30 pounds.
Someone
needs to lose some weight. But she looks so good. She looks so healthy.
She seems very confident.
She is so confident. I spoke to her on FaceTime the other day, and she is just like, she has the same solid personality that she always had. There is a part of me that wonders how people are receptive to her as a thinner person in her comedy.
Like,
because she's now dressing way hotter on stage.
Because she's more confident.
She always dressed cute.
But then it's like, I wonder if her, you know, feeling better about her body or starting to be like, oh, I feel like I'm more physically attractive, do more of those walls of, oh, that doesn't look good. You know, does that come up more?
Yeah, I wonder about that. So it's like there's that sort of thing where it's can your vanity be a detriment to your humor? You know, I saw an old picture of Jessica Kearson. Jessica used to be really, really big.
Yeah.
And, you know, she lost a lot of weight and I think she's a really beautiful person. But she is one of those people where it's like she makes these faces on stage where like she looks scary. And I'm like, it's so funny. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's, you know.
And I feel, I don't know if you feel like this way with like some of, like with your sets, but like sometimes I feel like the best sets I've had are when it's like, I'm out of my mind and I probably look like I'm out of my mind.
There are my favorite sets of yours are when you're getting extremely physical on stage, ranting and raving and then like humping a stool.
Yes, it's like, it's a fine art.
It's you. That is you at your absolute finest.
I mean, that's, I miss,
like, I want
stools.
Your headstone for your grave to be you humping a stool.
What do you do to get out of your head about work? Like, okay, let's say you're gonna go, you're doing a late night set.
Yeah.
Obviously you're on TV. You want to look good.
Yeah.
What are you saying to yourself? What are you doing to get out of your head about like focus on being funny? Don't worry about.
I'm really big on, I will say to myself, it doesn't matter how you wear something simple, don't
you? I'm asking you this. It's like, you look like Julia Roberts, but like, what do you do to get out of your head in case you don't look like a 20 out of 10?
Here's some things that I've been self-conscious about on stage. Yeah. I have thick legs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, I'm a fucking sex machine, but I do have thicker legs.
She's got haunches.
I am aware that if I'm on stage wearing tight jeans, I literally can see people looking at my thighs.
Do you think they really are?
Yeah.
Or do you think that's a paranoia?
It's not a paranoia. I mean, it's one of those things where I've become acutely aware of it.
So do you go out of your way to not wear?
So I go out of my way. If I'm wearing tight pants, I go out of my way to wear a bigger top.
Oh.
Because I'm like, I need something to.
Do you have any bits about your body?
I don't. When I first started comedy, I would talk about how flat-chested I am. I still have my joke about boobs where I'm like, oh, this is a padded bra from Forever 21. And I talk about how I want to get fake boobs because I do. But no, I really don't. I don't ever like shit on my body.
Well, it's because you're probably healthier than me. Well, I feel like
if I did, everybody would be like, what is fucking wrong with you? You look great. I'm aware that I have a desirable body type. And for me to sit here and be like, I don't like it.
Yeah, for you to sit there and be like, I don't, people are like, go to hell. When I even like, because I used to do a lot more self-deprecating. There was a point where I was like, no more self-deprecating humor. Mm-hmm. And then I, in retrospect, realized it's like, because for like a month I felt good about my body. And I was like, well, I'm not going to never be self-deprecating. But like, there have been moments where I'll start to go into a bit about my own body. Mm-hmm. Which like, I have since added tags of like, look, I know that I'm not supposed to be like, I hate my body because God forbid one woman in here is fatter than me. And she's like, you don't know what fat is. But like, where all of a sudden I'm going to talk about my muffin top and I realize I'm in like a flowy shirt and it doesn't look like I have one. Or like, or in something where I can't even like figure out a way to show you.
Yeah. Like, show you what I want to bitch about.
Yeah. Or like, not that I'm wearing dresses a lot on stage, but I used to have like a really flat ass joke where I'd be like, it looks like I should, you know, if I don't get my jeans taken, then it looks like I poop my pants. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this bit's not gonna.
Yeah, this isn't gonna work right now.
But I don't know. I feel like I could rant about this forever. But it's just like, on the note of the, before we move on, we'll take a break and then come back. But like before we do, on the note of like you noticing like the tight jeans thing, do you go out of your way to avoid dressing a certain way?
So a few years ago, I did a show. I was opening for Attell and Jeff Ross when they were doing the Bumping Mics tour. And it was the biggest, you know, it was like a 1,300. I don't know. It was a huge room. It was going to be the biggest crowd I'd ever done. And I was talking to Jamie Lee on the phone. She's a comedian. Very, very, very funny.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, what should I wear? And she's like, frump it up, Nick. Frump it up. She's like, you know, just... I think a lot of people, men and women in the audience, they relate to you more when you just look like an average girl.
Yeah. Like they don't want to feel like
they don't want, nobody wants to go to a show and sit there and look at your body the whole time and start thinking about their body. You want to get people out of their heads and out of their lives.
And I think it also works the same way with men. I mean,
1,000%.
No one's going to see Bert Kreischer and is like, oh God, who am I?
Yeah.
But body
presentation on stage is a thing. Do you think about, like, if you're doing a show somewhere and it's, like, an important show and you're thinking, like, oh, I want to dress a certain way, like, what is your go-to?
I don't know. Honestly, I should have, at this point, I should have, like, an outfit at least. I feel like that it's, like, this is a good outfit in case I do any of the bits where my body's, but I'm just a fucking nightmare. I don't think about it until I'm in the middle of the bit and I'm like, oh, no, I've made a grave error.
I think that would be an interesting thing to go through all of our jokes.
Well, I also, early on in comedy, I got more than one person, again, a small amount, but more than one person, was like, you know, you don't want to look too hot up there. You got to keep that. You don't want people to be intimidated by you. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yeah, oh, I'm in danger of people. Because I don't see myself as hot. So I go like, no one's intimidated by me. At best, I look like... like a lawn gnome going to prom.
But if you also think about it, you're a woman with a microphone crushing on stage for an hour.
Men are pussies.
That's intimidating.
Well, yeah, because it's like, men go, oh my God, she's fucking blah, blah, blah. And then there are women who sometimes go, oh, I'm not. People just start getting compare mode. Yeah. And it's, but I just remember the people, when people would be like, you don't want to be too hot. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think like that's.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to
happen.
That's
my biggest concern.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, who's this supermodel?
You know, you're like, I got a tight 20 and a relatable look today.
But then I do go, is it in my head to go, the more attractive my body gets, can I still be just as funny?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, I want to get fucking ripped.
Me too. But I don't want to be less funny, and I don't want to have to like have another thing to overcome to get the audience on my side. Not that, again, it's like no amount of working out, it's going to sprout a bunch of like 90s fake tits under my chin. But anyway.
Well, that's it, guys. Let us know how you feel about
vanity versus comedy.
Vanity versus comedy and your experience. Like when you're watching a comedian who's attractive, is that a distracting thing for you? If you're watching a comedian who's unattractive, are you like, you know, oh, that person's ugly? Is it distracting either way?
Yeah. Is it, do you automatically think someone's funnier because they're ugly?
Yeah.
Like, do you see, like, I used to have a theory, and look, people are not going to be happy about this.
It's fine.
Everything's automatically funnier if you're fat.
Oh, 1,000%. Couldn't agree more. Ralphie May, are you goddamn kidding?
Yeah. I mean,
the fatter he got, the funnier
Chris
he got.
Farley would have, if he was thin.
Yeah. Not funny at all.
Yeah. It would have been like, well, that's fun. You're high energy. Yeah. Like sometimes I think, should I just keep gaining weight?
Yeah. So funny. You're like, I'm doing this for comedy.
For my future that will be short.
My short-lived life.
All right. We're going to take a break and we will be back to talk about the movie version of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Nice.
And we are back talking about the movie version of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And now, Nicole, you said so far, this has been your favorite book and movie?
This has been my favorite book and movie, for sure. I think that book was easily one of the best things I've ever read.
I mean, it's a good one. A lot of people say it's their favorite book. I maintain mine is still 4, although I just love them all so much.
Yeah. I mean, they're all incredible.
This one had a lot of, was it like the exposition? Like, I feel like a big thing you've expressed is getting to see parts
the world.
Of the Wizarding World.
Parts of the Wizarding World. I love this book because it went so much into the Wizarding World and kind of the environment outside of
Hogwarts.
The movie, I thought, was... It just got me in right away. I loved seeing the neighborhood where the Dursleys live.
Yeah,
fucking amazing to see.
This one, they brought on a few different directors throughout the series. This one, this director will now be the director for the next 3 or 4.
This director killed it.
I loved the way it was shot. Yeah,
1,000%, me too.
Somebody in we were doing a live Zoom watch party. So if you're interested with our patrons, we do watch alongs, patreon.com/twofilthynerds. And we're all watching the movie. And someone at that beginning scene when they're shooting Dudley and his friends was like, oh, it's like the Sandlot. And I thought that was an interesting.
It was shot much better than
the Sandlot.
Yeah,
the Sandlot's
shot better than
old
the
90s, but like it just had that you could really feel the playground vibe.
Yeah.
And just the lighting and the way they shot everything.
It was really, 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 it felt more cinematic.
Yes. And I thought they did, considering it was only 2 hours and 20 minutes, I thought they did a very good job of getting a lot of the plot points.
Yeah. They did get a lot of the plot points. All of the other movies just kind of felt like, we're throwing something together because we know it'll be popular.
Yeah, you know what the other movies felt like to me?
No matter what.
Is that, and somebody had said this was the case with the first one when they first shot it and they had to reshoot a bunch. Like that the director's daughter was like, Dad, have you read the book? A lot of those felt like someone was given a plot point.
Yeah.
And granted, they had to cut some stuff because you can't get it all in.
I stand by this should have been a TV series.
Oh, yeah. I think one day it will be.
Yeah.
I hope we are all old enough to have the opportunity to be cast as some of the professors.
Desperately need to be cast as some of the professors.
Yeah, you should be Trelawney or McGonagall. But Yeah, I just felt like the other ones were someone was told, here's a thing we're making into a movie. And this felt like someone who's like, oh, yeah.
Who loves Harry Potter.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Just, I loved the lighting. That's another thing. I don't know if it actually is better or if I didn't used to be someone who noticed shit like that. And lately I'm like, oh, just the way everything's shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, am I becoming one of those unbearable film people?
When they got into the Ministry of Magic, I thought I was going to shit my pants. I thought it was the most incredible thing of all.
It was nothing like I imagined.
Nothing like I imagined. Of all the Harry Potter worlds that we've seen, when they went into that building, I was like, oh my. It's not at all what I imagined. It exceeded everything I could ever want.
Yeah.
I thought it was so perfectly done.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, I just completely forgot the way they did the like flu powder.
Yeah, the flu powder shoots.
That everyone's just popping up in fireplaces. Yeah. You know what I was bummed about was that we didn't get to see St. Mungo's at all.
Yeah, that bummed me out. Yeah.
I feel like that was, would have been such a cool extra
glimpse. Fun world to see, yeah. Because I really wanted to see Neville and his parents.
Yeah, with his grandma. I didn't love the way that they justified that with Neville just kind of like telling Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, this, but I don't want to tell everyone.
Yeah.
It was like,
that was kind of forced. It didn't feel.
I wonder if they
thought. It felt like it was one of those things where it's like, we're going to include this plot point just so you know, just so we can establish now that Neville knows that Harry knows.
Yeah. But also the inference with the prophecy. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff with the prophecy. First of all, Harry actually heard the prophecy.
Yeah, Harry heard the prophecy. He didn't have to be told by Dumbledore. I think that was, I actually like that.
Yeah. The prophecy didn't include this whole illusion. In the book, it's a whole thing where it could have been Neville.
Yeah.
You know, parents betrayed Voldemort three times. Yeah. And there was just, on no planet could it have ever been Neville in the movies. I guess the director was like, let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, let's not be ridiculous.
It never would have been Neville.
I think it would have been, unless you know, unless you're deep in the character development of Neville, which you could not have from the movies.
No, he's like a side character.
You would have no understanding of why that would be
a big deal.
A big deal.
Yeah.
That it could potentially be Neville.
Yeah. I mean, or that it could have been if Voldemort had decided to go after Neville instead of Harry Potter.
Oh, I thought the way they handled Goddaddy getting killed.
Yeah.
How quick it happened. I was like, yeah, that was realistic to me.
Yeah, because they weren't in the...
He didn't have a moment where he like was like fighting her. They were like in like wand combat.
Talking shit. And then he laughs.
And then he laughs and she just got a clean
from across
shot.
The room
she just got a clean shot. That's it.
And he got a Avada Kedavra.
Yeah.
But he didn't in the book, I thought.
We didn't know what happened.
What
we just know that there was a
it thing hit him
it
in, the
hit in the chest. But they didn't say, because Avada Kedavra is green. But in the book, they didn't say there was a green light. They just said something hit him in the chest
and then he fell into it.
But in this one, he got Avada Kedavra. You saw the green flash of light. And then you saw that moment where he like looked at Harry and he was like, oh, they. And then he like floated back into
peacefully,
that thing. Yeah.
Where... I don't, what did you, did, was that how you pictured it in the book? Or did you think he like fell and just disappeared?
Yeah,
like
fell and plonk, disappeared. Yeah,
and
fell
like
and disappeared.
Because I think when I first read it, I'm picturing like Wicked Witch of the East with the house smashed on her where you just see like feet, you know?
Yeah, hilarious.
And then it wasn't important, so I see why they cut it. But there was not even discussion of Quidditch.
There was
Ron had no plot line.
I gotta be honest. I was so happy they did that. Because at this point, I'm like, we get it. Quidditch is a thing. I don't need to see any more of the fucking Quidditch world.
But Ron didn't get his comeuppance. And I did think that is one factor among many that played into, and I said this before we started recording. Obviously, in the movie, Umbridge is like, quote, a bad guy. With the book, there's so many things you get to viscerally hate her.
There's never in the history, I wish people who have only seen the movies could understand the depth in which every single person who has read the books, the depth of hatred. I haven't met one person who read Harry Potter. Did you? I'm sitting here.
I read all of Harry Potter.
Okay, so
Umbridge.
How much do you hate Umbridge?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is. She is in the series so far. I mean, I haven't read, you know, the last two books. So far, I don't think I've ever met a more hateable person in anything I have ever read, ever.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, because if you read the books, it's like so many little things you grow to, like, in your heart feel hatred. And then the movie, you're kind of like, oh, this lady's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
But also, in the book, did they ever say what happened to her after the centaurs? Oh, she ended up in St. Mungo's?
Yeah, she gets chased out. No, Dumbledore had to go rescue her.
That's right.
In the book, Dumbledore had to go in and get her.
But at the end, doesn't she get chased out by Peeves?
She gets chased out by Peeves, yeah.
Where in this one that you... What I thought was an interesting way... I didn't love it because I wanted to see more of these things play out, but I thought it was a great idea from either the director or someone going, here's a way we can fit in little plot points that we don't have time for. They kept doing these smash cuts of newspapers.
Yeah, that was great.
And you saw a little thing of, like, beforehand Ministry pissing off the centaurs.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, seeing her on permanent fucking, what is that, dismissal?
She was dismissed from school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good way of quickly getting information out.
Because I think the other movies kind of just, like, left information out.
Yeah.
And this was
definitely got all the information. I'm trying to think of, like, what they might have...
I would have liked to see more of Fred and George's pranks and stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, me too.
They did quick smashes of them. They did the fireworks. I wanted to see the castle got turned into a swamp.
Yeah, I wanted to see. I thought that was going to happen. Like, all of a sudden, when she came out of the owl test, and she was standing in the hallway, and then just fireworks started going off, I thought she was going to be standing in the hallway, and, like, a swamp flood was going to, like, come and whoosh her away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wrote this down, and I thought this was something that I liked more in the movie than in the book. I felt like in the beginning, when he pulls out the wand...
Oh, right on Dudley in front of his friends.
Right on Dudley in front of his friends, yeah.
Because in the book, the wand doesn't come out till he realizes there's Dementors. But Dudley's friends are gone. So in this one, they're all talking shit. He pulls out a wand. And of course, Dudley's friends are like, look at your dorky, you know, cousin or whatever, pulling out a wand. Because, I mean, if you don't know someone's a wizard,
yeah,
and you see a 14-year-old boy pull out a wand, you're like, what a loser.
What are you doing, you fucking nerd?
What are you, going to just do some magic?
But I don't know. For some reason, I liked that. I also wasn't imagining Dudley like that. Like,
really?
he looked like a little British street kid in the way he was dressed.
Yeah, he was kind of.
And I wasn't picturing the neighborhood like that. Like, that looked like a real neighborhood in London, like outside of London.
Yeah, you were picturing it more what, cartoonish?
Picturesque. I was picturing it a little more like cartoonishly picturesque.
Yeah, you know what I thought was funny, and it's not a huge plot point, but when he brings Dudley back to the house.
Yeah.
Petunia's, like, dressed in, like, a slutty dress.
Yeah.
What was going on?
Petunia was kind of hoed up.
I was like, why are you dressed like that? She also looks a lot like Molly Shannon.
I also was very happy that she did look like Molly Shannon.
We didn't get the howler either.
But the way they did the letter where he was...
Expelled. Where it, like, talks
I liked,
to you.
I like that. I thought that was fun.
That was a fun way to do it. Yeah. Versus, like, just having someone read a letter.
Yeah.
Because that's... It's hard to make that fun.
Yeah, there were definitely, like, ways that they did things that were kind of more fun. I mean,
more magical.
I mean, the book was still great.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many details you cannot add to the movie because there's not time. But then they also had some fun stuff they added. Like, when Umbridge was there, she took down all the paintings.
Yeah, I love that because they were spying on her.
Because they're spying on her.
Yeah, that was fun.
On her.
That was... The way they did the decrees where Filch kept nailing them up on the wall, I thought that was great. Like, the visual intimidation factor of, like Umbridge. If only, you know, you could understand how horrible Umbridge is from the movie. But I like the visual of all the decrees that she was coming up with. And, like, he just kept putting up one after another. And, like, the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah. And what did you think about the change of... No Marietta Edgecombe telling on them. They caught Cho.
And it turned out to be the truth serum. I like that. I thought they dealt with that well.
Cho
narked because it was the truth serum.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, no. But in my mind, I'm like, Cho, why weren't you just like... Well, Cho wouldn't have known they gave her a truth serum.
Yeah, that's true. But then it's also like... So I guess in this, there was no spell on the list.
No, there was no spell on the list, which... That was a fun detail that they missed out on, but...
Yeah. Oh, what was interesting, too, is that Neville can't see the Thestrals in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
In the movie. He couldn't see them.
Yeah.
In the book, he could. But then also in the book, he couldn't hear what was going on behind...
Okay, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
What was the talking when they were in the Department of Mysteries, the thing that Sirius eventually fell into?
The arch.
So, by the way... Luna Lovegood casting.
Was that what you pictured?
No, not at all. I pictured dumpy. I pictured someone dumpy and kind of unattractive. And I love the, I actually loved the casting. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah. No, I
like her spaciness where she's like, yeah.
Oh, it's just,
but like, I love
hi,
it.
Hi, Harry Potter.
Hi, Harry Potter. And she's like very smart, but like, just there was something like whimsical about her that yeah. I just like loved. It was really special.
She yeah. was great. And yeah. then hearing the voices.
The hearing the voices. Okay, so when that happened, they didn't really explain why. I never understood. Even in the book, I never understood why they could
hear
just other those two could hear the voices.
At least in this one, I feel like it could have been assessed.
Yeah.
It must be a death thing. In the book,
yeah,
it didn't make sense.
But in this, it made more sense. But also, there has to be a significance for that. I think later in the series, we'll figure out the significance of that.
Just because everything's like a nugget?
Yeah, everything's a nugget. Because it was a nugget in the book and it was a nugget in the film. So I'm
that's
like,
how
oh.
wizards do assisted suicide. They're like, bring him to the arch. They just like
just
roll
shove
you in.
Him back and you're just, you float away.
You just float away to whatever
how
is
how
next.
Beautiful and humane.
I mean, what a way to go, honestly.
And then when Lupin came and like grabbed Harry after Sirius died.
Heart-wrenching. The absence of robes. I didn't even realize there was so many less robe-wearing scenes. I mean, they wore them in school.
There were a lot of
in class, but like
not a robe. There was a lot of scenes where people weren't wearing robes.
When they cut to Voldemort in like a
business
really nice
suit?
Black suit, yeah. I was like,
no, that was kind of like, come on, just keep the fucking robes. They're wizards. They're wizards.
And then I felt like every time it showed everyone like in a sweater, I'm like, what is this? Like sponsored by Old Navy?
Yeah,
like,
it felt so Old Navy.
Yeah.
Like
somewhere between Old Navy and Gap.
To the point where it was almost distracting. Like Hermione was wearing like a striped t-shirt. Ron was wearing a striped t-shirt. I was like, what are we doing
here?
Yeah,
it was very much like...
Like have Hermione wear something cute. Like
on camera 101 of like wear something with bright colors, but not too small of a pattern.
Not too small of a print. Blah, blah, exactly.
No, I was like, the person who did costumes for this should be fired.
Yeah.
Although, Umbridge's outfits, I will say.
Nailed it.
They nailed Umbridge.
Yeah, they nailed Umbridge.
Absolutely nailed it.
I was a little bummed out that we didn't fully understand the importance of... I didn't understand it completely in the book either, but like why... what's it called? Hagrid brought his fucking brother back. Like
Hagrid just didn't really, his brother was like a runt in the book.
Yeah.
His brother was the runt of the giants and he was getting beat up.
Yeah. But I didn't understand that in the movie. In the book I was like, I still think it's kind of weird, but in the movie I was like, okay, now this literally is, I don't
There's
understand.
There's no point.
There's
yeah,
no
yeah.
point. Like we didn't need Grop in the book.
And we didn't get the full story of like Hagrid's, I feel like you didn't really feel his, I wish they would have cut to.
Yeah.
You know, a scene of him.
Of him in the mountains.
And like Madame.
Yeah. Madame Pomfrey. Or no. Madame Marguerite. I want to say Madame Marguerite, but that's a dominatrix that
Her
I've interviewed.
Her name is Marguerite. You guys know, the Beauxbatons lady.
The Beauxbatons lady, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I wish I... But also the CGI, it's so funny, looking back to however long ago that was on the giant, is so silly. They didn't talk much about the OWLs. Like
the importance of them, the weight of them,
the Auror thing of like him wanting to be an Auror and McGonagall being like, if it's the last thing I do.
Oh, and McGonagall had such a weak story in this.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't fun. The whole, you know, McGonagall coming to the rescue
of Hagrid
and then just
like stunners to the chest.
Yeah. That, but then again, we didn't see St. Mungo's at all. So she wouldn't have gone to St. Mungo's to, you know, to recuperate, to get better.
Yeah. I would have liked to see that like up on the astronomy tower, taking the test, meeting the people who run the tests and having them be impressed. First of all, you don't get the Madame Bones being impressed about his Patronus in the trial.
Oh, that I missed that.
And then you don't get someone else going, for a few extra points, can you produce a full Patronus?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That I would have, I want to see Harry drop dicks as much as he can.
Yeah. And no, there was no... I understand that it doesn't really move the plot or anything, but like none of the prefect stuff.
There was no prefect stuff.
And
it didn't. That makes me think it's just a detail that establishes the world more than it's a major plot point.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think it's just kind of, and there was no Percy at all.
He was in it, but they don't address this is Percy. Nobody says anything.
Yeah,
nobody talks
there was
about
never,
how he's,
yeah.
Oh,
they're still
talk
not
to
talking
family.
To the family. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ending where they capture the Death Eaters, that there was none of that, where they catch Lucius Malfoy.
Yeah. They don't even get caught in the movie, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, they might. We don't know. It's not clear.
Yeah, they don't do the... There's not the big scene with him, like, talking shit to Malfoy about how his dad... And he's like, oh, my dad, it's going to break out. Anyway, there's no Dementors, really. There really wasn't...
There was none of that was established. No. But, like, I mean, Lucius.
Luscious Lucius. What did you think about him handing over the prophecy in this? And then Lucius ends up dropping it.
I mean, they were both fine. It wasn't one way or another that I... They were both fine.
And was that hall with all the prophecies, was that how you were picturing it when you described it as, like, the mask place?
No, I pictured it... I pictured everything more understated. Even for the Department of Mysteries, I pictured it...
Ministry of Magic.
The Ministry of Magic and the Department of Mysteries. I pictured everything far more understated. I pictured it more Diagon Alley-ish.
I think I pictured, initially, before I ever watched it, I think I pictured... the Ministry of Magic, much more boring government, bureaucratic looking.
Like a
courthouse.
Like a CIA kind of bit. Like a courthouse, totally. Like the downtown LA courthouse.
Like,
where
I didn't
just
picture
like,
those black marble fireplaces.
Yeah, like so extravagant. But you know what? I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I was so satisfied by it. I did not picture that at all. But what they gave me was, I still loved what I saw in the book.
Yeah.
But I absolutely fucking loved what they did in the movie.
Yeah.
That felt magical, truly.
I mean, yeah, no, it really set up this whole magical world. But yeah, then I thought...
No Rita Skeeter, no Quibbler.
Yeah, no Quibbler. The Quibbler doesn't exist. He doesn't get this redemption. You don't really hear how badly the Daily Prophet,
the fake news quote. Yeah, you have no idea the effect. You have an idea somewhat of the effect that had on Harry.
I think there's like a sentence mentioned.
Yeah.
But like in the book, it's like this recurring plot.
Yeah. Oh, no Dobby.
No Dobby. What do you think of Creature? I mean, we barely saw him.
Yeah, barely saw Creature, but what a...
Creepy.
Creepy.
And then also in the movie, Phineas Nigellus... His picture is blown off the family tree, which I don't think it was. And we didn't see him really in a photo, did we?
No.
In a painting?
At all. There was no Phineas Nigellus at all.
Which is a bummer.
I loved Dumbledore leaving his office when he's like, I'm not going to Azkaban. Bye.
Oh, yeah. This was different because in the book, he like stuns everyone immediately and then bolts. But this one, Fox just swoops down.
He's like, all right, bye, Fox.
Bam.
Great. I thought it was done so well. Both, obviously, very satisfying movie. I was so satisfied with the way they did a lot in this movie.
Was there anything that you were like, I really thought that could have been done better with this movie?
Let me think. No. I would have liked more Luna Lovegood. I got to be honest.
It's so funny because when we read the book initially, like, I mean, yeah, she seems fun. I don't know why she had a chapter after. And I'm like, I want to know Luna's journey.
Now that I have a visual of Luna and her spaciness, I'm now completely enthralled by Luna. I also loved how fucking much of a G Jenny is in the movie.
Yeah, she's
like,
a badass.
Oh, she's a badass. Like, she's more badass than everybody in her family.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And I was living for that.
And you like the casting of Jenny?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful girl, but it's not to the point where it's like, nobody in the movie, Bellatrix.
I mean.
Bellatrix Lestrange. I mean,
Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena Bonham Carter is...
You didn't know that was coming.
I didn't know that
was
coming.
And you were like, is that Helena Bonham Carter?
I was like...
What'd you think of that?
I think she is one of the most exquisite creatures on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
I
Our friend Jamie Adrigan here, she got chills when we just said Helena Bonham Carter.
I think she is... I'm getting chills now. She is stunning. But there's been no one in the series so far where it's like, but you're like a distractingly beautiful person. Like, everybody's beautiful or attractive or like appeasing to the eye. But like, dude, that casting for Bellatrix, So good.
Oh yeah. I mean, she's so, so good at bringing to life that like
that
darkness.
That darkness, like, the insanity of the darkness.
You know,
the deranged nature of her.
Yeah, just fully. I mean, she's always been great at doing dark characters.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
But there was also moments where she had like moments of humanness too, which was nice.
Yeah.
She had moments where she was like watching something that was happening with Harry. I can't remember. And I remember her, I was like, oh, when he was upset that Sirius died, she had a moment where she was watching Harry and it was like, she was almost affected by it.
Wow.
How upset he was. And that made me so much more interested in the character. Cause in the book, she just seems
so evil.
So evil.
That just she has like, no,
just like
emotion.
Insanity, like crazy loony bin. But I loved what she brought to the character. Like,
yeah.
I thought the character had so many more dimensions than the book.
It's so, I mean, absolutely. And I thought, it's so funny that you mentioned, like, no one's, like, distractingly hot, which is true. But that being said, I still feel like the main cast of characters, mm-hmm. some of them are way more attractive than I pictured them when I first read the book.
Couldn't agree more.
Hermione?
Yeah.
Like, I literally read the book and I was like, I could play Hermione.
Yeah, I was picturing a scarecrow.
Big teeth and foofy hair, like...
What's a caricature. Like,
yeah.
She sounds like a caricature of a girl.
Yeah, and then it's Emma Watson, who's, like,
very
stunning.
Very pretty. But they don't overdo her in the book at all. Like, you know, when she got dressed up for the Yule Ball?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, murdered it.
Yeah.
Oh, and I thought the Dumbledore's army was well done.
Oh, that was great. When he's like, oh, nope, it's mine. Yeah. You know what was a very small detail that distracted me? Harry's hair was very well cut in this movie.
Yes.
And that is so not Harry Potter.
Yeah,
I agree. It's such a big thing that his hair is always, he cannot fix his hair. It's like a mess. And I was like, I can't stop looking at his, he looked like a dork to me just because his hair was lined up.
This time I was kind of like, ooh, Harry could get it.
Yeah.
Like, he looked grown up.
Harry's getting hot. And also, the Weasleys are so tall, the twins.
Also, the Weasleys, I got to be honest, when I saw them and they've done grown up, I saw them when they first came out on screen. I was like, oh, yeah.
Weeze me.
I'd let them spit roast me, too.
Yeah. They're hot. What's funny is in the book, Ron is supposed to be super tall and lanky.
Yeah, and he's not.
And that kid just like.
I'll be honest, I can't stand Ron in the book or the movie.
Are you kind of glad that they. Mm-hmm. You just think he's such a bitch.
He's a bitch. He's just a fucking... You're not a Gryffindor, you cunt.
I would have liked to
Ginny,
see...
Ginny, Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Twins, Gryffindor. Hermione, Ravenclaw.
Yeah,
end of story. The fact that she's a Gryffindor, I'm like, no, Hermione, you're fucking smartest person in the book.
I mean... Yeah,
Harry,
it does
Harry's
shock
a Gryffindor.
Me. Harry's a Gryffindor. What is Ron a Hufflepuff?
Yeah, Ron's a Hufflepuff. Yeah. Ron's not that good at anything.
I would have liked to see the dynamic of him being a prefect over Harry. But more importantly, I think a thing they missed that in the book for me, you really got to see this fucking moody, cunty, angsty side of Harry.
Yeah.
Like
how tortured Harry was by so much. Like in the book, it was like Harry, you felt the weight of the world on Harry's shoulders.
Like
in the book.
The book, you picture Harry as like that emo,
yeah.
The emo brother in Wedding Crashers,
yes.
Who's just like, you don't get
you
it.
You don't get it. You don't get me. Like that is how Harry is in the book. And that they like
he's a little
touched
angry.
On it a little bit, but you didn't really get like, you didn't get like this like angsty pubescent, you know, Harry that was in the book.
Yeah, and I miss that.
Yeah, I was bummed about that.
But so far, this is favorite book and favorite movie?
Favorite book and favorite movie, no question about it.
Who is... Okay, I'll ask this. We're moving forward. We know nothing about book six. Mm-hmm. By we, I mean you.
It's a Half-Blood Prince, so...
What do you... Okay, name alone, Half-Blood Prince. Spit out... What is the Half-Blood
Harry
Prince?
Harry is the Half-Blood Prince, but I don't know... I mean... Like, I don't think all of a sudden there's going to be, like, royalty. Like, I don't understand why Harry would be a prince, but... Yeah,
but
I guess,
think it's definitely about Harry.
Yeah, it's definitely about Harry.
Who do you think we're going to see...
I think in this book...
A heroic
plot line
from.
I thought in this book it was going to be Sirius going bad in this book, but I think Sirius will go bad in this book. I mean, not Sirius. Snape.
Right. can't believe you just called Snape Sirius.
Do not get me started. I will fuck up every name for the rest of this fucking
podcast. You think this is when we're going to, Snape's going to go fully to the dark side. Yeah. We lose Snape in this book, you think?
I think we lose Snape in this book. He goes over to the dark side, and then I think at the end of the book, I think this book he goes bad, and then the final book he comes back over to the good side.
Oh, you think he's going to come back?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hilarious.
I think the animosity... I love the way they did when they were doing...
Occlumency.
When Harry saw into Snape's mind like that instead of needing the pensieve. They didn't need that in the book. And the way they did it in the movie was great. Because that made me happy that, like, how tough Harry was. That he could get into Snape's mind.
You know, they didn't really have that him really having to deal with or, like, overcome the fact that his dad was a dick.
Yeah, his dad isn't who... Yeah, that was a bummer. But I think in that there was a taste of it where you're like, oh, Harry's dad was a fucking dick to Snape.
Yeah.
But there wasn't enough of how it weighed on Harry.
That he's like, oh, this whole time I thought my dad was a goddamn Snape was just being a dick saying he's an asshole. You know, two very small things that I want to, they're just little additions that were in the movie that I thought were great. When Umbridge is getting carried away by the centaurs and she's like, tell them to put me down.
And he goes, or tell them
I'm harmless. And he goes, I must not tell lies. Yeah. I thought that was a great addition.
Love that.
And then right before Sirius dies, when they're both dueling.
Together.
And Harry hits someone, he goes like, good one, James.
Yeah.
Like he just, my heart.
Oh, I fluttered. It fluttered on that one.
But okay. So you think Harry's the Half-Blood Prince. We're going to lose Snape. Any heroes you think are heroes? Any people you think are going to have a fun, heroic, even if it's small, like come in unexpectedly and somehow save the day?
Neville?
Okay.
Neville's going to have a fucking G moment. Because I feel like we're building up to that because you saw it when it was better represented. But his powers growing as a wizard of him getting better and him working really hard in Dumbledore's army. I think Neville's going to have a breakout moment. The moment when he's like, Bellatrix Lestrange, I fucked up your parents in the movie. And he was like, now your death is about to be avenged.
Expelliarmus.
I love, that was just a moment where I was like, Neville's got the balls. The balls are there.
That's the moment that you go, he's a Gryffindor.
Yeah, he's a Gryffindor. Yeah.
He just needs the skills.
Yeah. He just needs, you
a
know,
a little confidence.
You know, the whole, being able to put up a Patronus, you have to be able to really hone into a happy memory.
Yeah.
And then being able to cast an unforgivable curse, you have to really want to do it. And I think Neville has that. I think Neville has the ability to tap into things if he could just figure it out.
Yeah. He just needs to get the like technicals of the spell.
Yeah.
Unless he's a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then obviously we're going to see some new defense against the dark arts.
Yeah.
Wild guess of who it is, or is it a new character, or what do you think?
Who the defense of the dark arts teacher is going to be? I got to be honest. I think it would be really fun if they finally just gave it to Snape.
That's funny. And then in the book, we didn't get any info on how they did on their owls, did we?
Oh, you know what would be interesting? If somebody from the Order became the dark arts teacher.
Like, who's in the Order? Kingsley Shacklebolt, Tonks.
What if Tonks?
Or if the real Moody came on.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been on.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this next book.
Yeah. I'm really excited, too. I think that's it for the episode. On the note of the next book, we're taking a brief palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole will be traveling back home and taking care of family, and we're going to do some fun stuff in between. We'll probably do some pop-ups, but we also have, you may have noticed an episode already came up, I believe, by the time this is out. We're doing The Bachelorette. Neither of us have watched it. Mm-hmm. We brought on our friend Leah Knauer.
We realize The Bachelorette isn't nerd culture.
We are discussing how people can nerd out about something that is not typical nerd. Yeah. How really you can be a nerd about anything.
Yeah.
So we wanted to try this once. Don't think that we're going to become a full-blown reality recap. We're not. It's never going to happen.
Guys, don't worry. That's never going to be part
of
our
brand. We're looking at the psychology. We'll have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
What goes into this reality show.
We're going to talk so much shit about these people.
And why why people are obsessed with shows like this.
Yeah, I want to understand why people are obsessed with shows like this. I have to understand it.
And our guest co-host who's taking our nerdginity for The Bachelorette is Leah Knauer. You may know her from Basic Witches podcast.
She's absolutely incredible. She's an incredible person. She's so funny.
You're going to love her. And I will be, we're also doing, I will be doing episodes with our friend Samantha Hale stepping in as a guest co-host, taking my Halloween nerdginity. We were watching four of the Halloween movies. And if you know me, you know I don't watch horror movies because I will literally shit my pants. So I may be wearing a diaper to ingest those. But just keep a look on your timeline. Those are fun stuff all coming up. If you want to join the Patreon, get on live watches, other fun stuff, patreon.com/2filthynerds. Head over there. We will be back with Half Blood Prince fairly soon. Probably... at some point in November, I assume.
Yeah, I feel like beginning of November.
Yeah.
Let's say beginning of November.
Okay, well, that's... yeah, you're not going to be gone for the election. It doesn't matter. Guys, we don't need to talk about this. Well, in the meantime, get excited about those extra episodes. Head over to SquattyPotty.com. Use Filthy20 to get 20% off your shitter and your sprays. And
I still can't get over that they saw our social media. They saw you just posted a ridiculous picture of me and
on the toilet.
Just,
there will be more of those coming up.
Yeah. And it was perfect.
Yeah, and they were like,
we love
up.
You. It happened.
Yeah. So we're excited. We love Squatty Potty. We want to share that excitement with you. And that's all that is. Not
and
really
find, find us on all of our social media, of course. I don't even think we need to say the handles because you know them at this point. And if you don't, figure them out.
Yeah, go find it. We're making funny, we're doing silly photos and silly videos for them, but also just in general. Maybe see some more of my white woman in hip-hop
dance instructor. Yeah, I can't. We're going to do that tonight.
Yeah. Oh, and Mandatory. We'll also be jumping on Instagram Live a lot. We should tell you a time, but I don't know what time we're doing.
Yeah.
From our toilets and doing some shit talk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll see you out there. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Bye, guys.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.